This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tig?
Cheryl.
What do we talk about today?
We talk about some tough guys, punk rockers.
Tough guys. Yes.
Yeah.
Curse words. Fly swatters.
There's a false alarm braggadocious alert.
Yes. You really did a braggadocious alert, and it was not called for. Shall we just get right into it?
Yes, we shall.
Okay. Ladies and jerks, welcome to Winnebago Man.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story. Hey, Tig, hey.
Hey, Cheryl, hey.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I don't know if I told you, but Stephanie and I started doing transcendental meditation.
Oh, did you start? You said you were going to.
Yeah, we did all of our training, and we've both been doing it.
Can I ask a question? Do you sit when you do this, mm-hmm. or do you lie down? You sit with your legs crossed?
Well, you sit however you feel most comfortable.
Because how long are you there?
Well, it's twice a day, 20 Whoa. Minutes each time.
Whoa.
And so what we do is typically when we wake up in the morning, we do our 20 minutes.
And do you set a little timer?
No, but it's okay if you kind of open your eyes and look at the time and then you close your eyes and you get back into it. It's interesting because I've noticed that I'll meditate for 15 or so minutes before I even think to look at the clock. So that's what surprises me the most, is that it's not like it flies by, but it kind of does.
That's so interesting. And then to get into it, I mean, you don't have to tell all your secrets, but is there like a specific way? Is there a chant or is there a...
No, you get comfortable. You just make sure your body and however you are most comfortable sitting up, whether it's in bed or in a chair, on the floor, whatever you want to do. And I personally, when I wake up, I sit up in bed.
Okay.
And then you take, you know, a minute or so to just kind of get your bearings.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into it and you are assigned a mantra that you repeat.
And is it different every time or is it the same?
It's the same mantra. Okay. And it's...
But
it's
do you guys have the same mantra or you have different ones?
Nope. You,
you have your own.
You're assigned your own mantra after you've met with your... instructor, they decide what your mantra is, and then that's what you repeat for 20 minutes, and then you come out of it, and you spend like 2 to 3 minutes just not repeating your mantra, and just kind of being quiet, still with your eyes closed, and then you quietly, slowly come out of it, open your eyes slowly. So it's about a 25-minute practice each time. So you do that in the morning and then some point in the afternoon, but not before bed.
Why not before bed?
Sometimes it can actually through meditation, you can, what she said was, you can sometimes have a lot of things surface, maybe some deeply buried things or whatever.
Ah, that you might have to process and deal with.
Yeah, or it just, you might get the opposite reaction and it might actually make you more alert. So she said it's best to give like an hour or two before bed. But what I try and do is meditate around 8 in the morning or so, between 7 and 8, and then meditate between like 3 and 4 in the afternoon. But it's definitely something you have to schedule.
Yeah.
And what really appealed to me about it was, you know, people, of course, the first thought is, oh my gosh, I don't have time. 45.
I know. That's
45 minutes, almost an hour.
Yeah. Who's got that kind of time?
And then it's like, I heard somebody who is very, like, has been doing transcendental meditation for decades said, you actually end up having more time in your day by taking time to meditate, having the clarity. Yeah, and focus. And that really is what spoke to me, where I was like, oh, that for some odd reason makes so much sense to me.
I mean, it does make sense, yeah.
I've also heard people say to others that say, oh my gosh, I have no time. And then they say, well, look at your cell phone and see how much time you're spending on email and
just looking at
social media.
Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that will tell you, you actually do have free time, because you might be spending, you know, there's people that are like, oh, I'm on my phone 10 hours a day. And it's like,
yeah,
oh,
that's
my
crazy.
Lord.
That's a lot. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But if you're spending hours on social media or hours just watching TV or something, you might have time to incorporate this.
All right. Well, keep me posted, because I'm curious to know, like, God, do I need to add this to my day?
We're enjoying it. You know, we're only
a few days in.
Well, no, we're like a week and a half in, but it's still it's a nice thing, and it's nice to connect not just with ourselves but with each other, because we're both doing it.
Yeah,
you know,
that's nice.
Yeah, and we can do it together. We can meditate at the same time, which is also nice.
That is really nice. I don't know if I have. I don't know if I have that kind of focus. Like I told you, I told you one time about Rachel Harris, and we did a guided meditation. Did I tell you this?
Mm-mm. I actually don't know. Maybe you have.
I probably have.
Tell me again.
Thomas, have I told you this? Anyway, we do a guided meditation. We were the only two there, which already made us laugh, and that's not helpful. And this poor person is like, okay, it's actually not a funny class. But so we're lying on the floor, and she's talking us through it, and we're going up a – we're supposed to see ourselves going up a mountain. And what does that path look like to you? Is it straight up? Is it windy? Is it paved? Is there no path? Are there stairs? And we go through this whole thing. By the way, both of us fell asleep. Rachel and I fell asleep. She woke us up after an hour. She's like, you guys have to leave. And Rachel was like, yeah, the whole time I kept thinking, oh, I bet Cheryl's over there, like, making her own path up the mountain where I would like the stairs. And I don't want to take the stairs because I know you're over there. Like, I'm going to take my own path. I'm like, Rachel, you really missed the point of this meditation. Why are you worried about what kind of path I'm taking up the mountain? But yeah, I need
this
more.
Story does not sound familiar, by the way.
No, okay, good.
And look, it's hard for me to focus, but it's a nice, I don't know. I'm enjoying it. Enjoying it.
I like it.
And I'll keep you posted.
Keep me posted. Okay.
And how are you?
How am I? I'm good. I'm knocking on wood. I feel really good today. It ask me tomorrow. But I feel really good today.
Yeah. Good.
But you know, I do yoga, and I the whole time I'm just like, just let's get to the end where we get to lie on the mat and not do anything for 5 minutes.
So you don't enjoy the actual process?
No, I do. But if I didn't have that little 5 minutes at the end, I would just probably leave angry. Which also is not the point of yoga, I'm quite sure.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it.
Mm-mm. Okay. Shall we talk about this documentary?
Yes, let's talk about it.
Okay. Today we are talking about Winnebago Man. It's a 2010 documentary directed by Ben Steinbauer. It investigates the mysterious life of Jack Rebney after a clip of his Winnebago commercial outtakes goes viral. Winnebago Man premiered at the South by Southwest Film Festival and is available to watch on Tubi. It's really hard to talk about this film unless we hear from...
Had you heard of this documentary?
No.
I hadn't either. No. I wasn't familiar with the...
I didn't know what I was getting. I honestly thought it was going to be a guy going across the country in a Winnebago.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
Do they make Winnebagos anymore? There's no way to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but Tommy says yes. So it was like an RV, you know, right?
Right.
So the documentary, it's all about this guy, Jack Rebney. And he did a, he did a Winnebago sales video in 1989. And he was like the actor that was showing you all the different features of this Winnebago.
But wasn't he also an actual salesman?
I guess he would. He wrote it. I couldn't tell if he was an actual salesman. He was responsible for this industrial tape, this industrial film.
And how did you feel when the movie started, when you got his vibe and when it, and you thought you were getting the vibe of the movie? Like, how were you feeling?
I thought it was funny. I was like, oh, I was surprised that I hadn't heard of this. Like, I really thought I had my finger on the pulse of comedy and all things cool. So I was surprised that I hadn't heard about this. How did you feel?
I was on a real roller coaster with this documentary. Because out of the gate, I was like, I'm not in the mood for this. I'm just like, okay, a guy cussing a lot and getting frustrated. Like, it didn't amuse me personally. I was just like,
well, I know. And being an actor too, you feel like, okay, this is like, this could be on the day, on any set, on any day that you're shooting.
Also, I think there was a part of me that felt like, even if he has this attitude, it felt like you weren't really witnessing somebody with a lot of anger. You know what I mean?
It was like he frustration.
Well, and he also just seemed to be in the moments where you see him break or laugh or have a sense of humor or say something funny. It just didn't seem like you were really seeing an angry man that was frustrated is how I felt.
I felt it. Well, I think we should.
Okay.
I think we should play this clip for people.
Okay.
So just know. So this guy did this. They shot for 2 weeks. By the way, that's a long time to shoot this in a Winnebago. And it was
Could have taken a nice trip.
It was really, really hot. And so they compiled the outtakes of this guy, Jack Rebney, trying to get through this shoot. And if there's anybody out there that gets offended by F words, S words, words in general, then close your ears.
They never say horny.
They never say horny. Okay, here's Jack Rebney.
All right, here we go. What do you mean? I got to be able to move. That's crazy. Here we go. The Winnebago Concepts and Engineering Departments have developed a multifunctional bathroom. Privacy, I don't even know what the fuck I'm reading. I wonder what the fuck the real dialogue is. What the fuck is this thing? All of the windshield, for fuck's sake. Oh, fuck. That didn't sound for shit, did it? What we're doing is we're building a fucking industrial film, trying to give these guys everything they can get. I mean, that's it. Fuck it. It's going to be very helpful in keeping you from falling down, you big, dumb son of a bitch. Oh, fuck. Fuck.
Fuck.
Fuck. Fuck. Oh, fuck. Shit. Tony, do me a favor, will you, please? Will you? Will you do me a kindness?
Leave.
Yeah.
I think I want you walking in and out if you're going to fuck up and I got
to
come back.
I don't make any difference to me at this juncture. Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Tony. Don't slam the fucking door. No more.
Honestly, the more I heard him and the more they showed it, I was laughing so hard because it really does make me laugh. He's so.
Oh my God. I was so the opposite. I was
you
like,
were like,
oh
God, this guy.
Yeah. I was just like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And I have to say, again, it was up and down for me. But that was my initial feeling.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine where it's going to go from here.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys, they shot this film. They edited the outtakes together, and then they gave them to Winnebago because they could not stand this guy, Jack Rebney. And they, it sounded like they were kind of, you know, angry that they were stuck with him for 2 weeks. And somehow somebody saw this tape and they made a copy. We've really been involved in VHSs the last few episodes. They made copies and they made copies and they kept sending it out to different people until it was all across the country. People are sitting.
Except for me and you.
Except for us. We did not see it. But you have people. Dan Brown, the director of American Detective, says he's seen the clips hundreds of times. Kent Osborne, the writer of SpongeBob SquarePants, keeps a copy in his backpack. And then popular phrases from the clips include, "My mind's a piece of shit this morning," "I'm blinded by this hot light," and "Would you do me a kindness?" And fans of the tape make copies and then give them to friends. Yeah, so those phrases have been referenced in TV shows and on films, and I didn't realize that until they showed them.
Yeah, I didn't. I missed the whole thing.
Yeah, it's been on Surviving Christmas, Boom Boom Sabotage, 30 Rock, and TV Carnage. But you have people like saying, "Can you do me a kindness?" Which is weird. I mean, it's a weird way to say it, but now I know. This is like, are you a snorkel? You bet your sweet ass I am. Now we know we know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Before somebody said, "Would you do me a kindness?" you'd be like, "I don't know what that means. Are you talking about a favor?" Things like that.
Cheryl, did you see Thomas raise the break?
I'm ignoring it.
No, we have to take a break.
Ignoring it.
We're going to have to take a break. And we'll be back on Tig and Cheryl, True Story, to talk about Winnebago Man.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we are back on Tig and Cheryl, True Story, talking about Winnebago Man. And if this is the first time you're
tuning in,
joining us.
Yes.
Yeah. This is a podcast
about nothing.
Documentaries.
It does involve a documentary. It involves one.
Yeah. Yeah. We do mention a title of a documentary, but sometimes we end up talking about meditation for a half hour.
For 15 minutes.
But anyway.
Yeah. Today we're talking about Winnebago Man and Jack Rebney, and people like to call him the angriest guy in America. So Ben Steinbauer, he wanted to find Jack Rebney. He wanted to find him. Because he wanted to see what he's doing now, you know? Although, before we get to that, I mean, one part that I thought was so sad, you know, at the beginning when they were showing, when at the very beginning of time, when video clips were going viral, and just how much that could really impact somebody's life. I felt so sorry for that. What, the high school kid that was doing
the Star Wars?
Yeah, with the, I don't know what it was, a golf ball catcher or something, but he was dancing around with the, acting like it was a lightsaber. Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Lightsaber, yeah. Which is fine. I thought it was cute. But then apparently it went viral even back then, people making copies. And then they started mm-hmm. editing sounds, music, whatever. And
superimposing him and
things. Yeah, and just like humiliating him.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy, they talked to that guy and it was really hard for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like he really struggled.
It was so interesting to see that. And I'm not faulting the filmmaker here, but it's interesting to, because I think it's good to bring up that these things humiliate people. But then it's also like, but you're also highlighting.
We're doing a whole film about
the humiliated.
We're doing a whole film about it.
Yeah, it's complicated.
Yeah.
But it's good to highlight it, but it's also bad to highlight it because you're showing the kid again.
Right.
But anyway.
You're bringing up the hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh. And then Aleksei Vayner, he had a judo video with tips for success leading to the coining of the term cyberbullying. So Aleksei, mm-hmm. that was also sad too. I didn't see anything wrong with it. When it was a guy who was given tips on life and showed him
mm-hmm.
ballroom dancing. And I mean, it was odd. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, it was odd, but.
Sure. But does that person need to be
humiliated?
Attacked by an entire planet.
Yeah. I don't remember Michael Cera doing a parody of it. But also, if I did see it, I wouldn't have even known it was a parody of it because I didn't see it to begin with. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I never saw the Star Wars guy.
I didn't either. But I probably wouldn't even know what it was supposed to be to begin with because I'm not a big Star Wars
fan. You don't even
fan.
Know what a lightsaber is.
I didn't. For a long time, I thought it was called a lightsaber.
Yeah.
A and
lot
it's
of
not.
Small children think that too.
Okay. So, Ben, the filmmaker Ben, he reaches out to Winnebago Industries to see if he can find Jack, but they want nothing to do with Jack or the video. I really would have liked to have heard that. He was like, hey, I'm just trying to track down Jack. No. But the funny video, no. But he does get in touch with the cameraman, Mike Weckel. Weckel?
Weckel. I don't know.
It's
I don't know.
Welkel or is it Welke? No, Welke. No, Welkel? Thomas, is that Welkel or Welke?
Snarkle?
Snarkle? It does sound like Snarkle.
Snarkle? Welkel?
Welkel?
Oh, Welkel. Okay, Mike Welkel. Okay. And a few of the crew, and they recall the shoot being like 12 plus hours a day in the heat of August. And Jack was just a jerk to everybody. And you know, that's a long 2 weeks of being a jerk to people. If you're the mm-hmm. one trying to, you're just trying to do your job and this guy is like calling you names and yelling. You've had some of those days?
Well, I had, when I first moved to LA, and I don't know if I've told this on this show, but.
Doesn't matter. Tell it again.
Yeah, here it comes. What is it? Bluebell?
Ring-a-ding-ding. Bluebell!
Yeah, for 2 days I worked for, I think I talked about it on here and we can bleep out the name, but. What is that guy's name, Thomas?
Yeah.
Fafa?
Oh, that's so weird.
When I first moved here, just like yelling at me,
humiliating. Were you in the shoot?
I was a production assistant and he was doing this green screen thing. And he had like this bodysuit on and like I had to hold this heavy cord behind him. And everywhere he jumped and moved, I had to like kind of guess where he was going to go. And if I didn't, it kind of tugged on him and he just screamed at me and humiliated me for 2 days.
Oh.
And then the craziest part is that years later, I got an email from my manager a few years ago saying that this person wanted to meet me backstage, that he and his wife were big fans of mine.
Shut
And I was like,
up.
And I was
he had no idea. He did, had no idea.
Of course not. No, he had no idea that I had been a production assistant for him. And so I told my manager, I was like, I don't want to meet this guy. I've already met him. And I have a terrible.
I know his essence.
Yeah, I was like, no, thank you. And that continued to happen where he would reach out and he'd be at a show and he wanted to meet me. He and his wife wanted to meet me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then years later.
Yes, you married
him. I was at a very intimate dinner party.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one empty seat at the table. And this dinner party was in New Orleans. There's one empty seat at the table. And in walks that guy.
Uh-oh.
He sits down across from me. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh my God, how on earth is this happening? And I had told the director I was working with in New Orleans, I said, you know, I couldn't even believe the timing. Because I had told her, I think I'm going to write an email to him and explain that I was a PA.
Right. That would have been a good idea.
Yeah.
Just to like clear the air and just be like, look, I don't have
good memories of you. Yeah, here's why I'm hesitating.
Right.
But, you know, you lost it on me.
Yeah.
For 2 days. So I'm happy to re-meet you, but I just want to let you know that I can't meet you without me not saying this. And so the director was like, you have to show me this email before you send it to his person. And so I was at that that dinner with that director and Stephanie, and in walks this actor. He sits down, and we're all nudging each other like, oh my, we had been talking about it that day.
Oh my God.
And then he didn't make eye contact with me. He didn't talk to me. He ignored me the whole night.
Because you had said no so many times, or who knows why? Don't know why. Okay, go ahead.
Don't know why. And then we can bleep this out. It was Fafa pals. So she's in this room in her office, and everybody was like in different parts of her house. And Stephanie and the director and I all walked in to say goodbye to her and thank her. And he walked in to the office, didn't look at me, Stephanie, or the director. He said his goodbyes to her. And then he turned to me and he said, good night, Tig. And he walked out.
Oh.
That's the only thing he said. And we were all like, whoa, 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 whoa. Isn't that crazy?
Whoa. So you never told him?
No, I never sent the email. And we all just left going, I mean, he
just thinks you're rude.
He's so iconic. And he's especially iconic in the comedy world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he probably couldn't figure out why I wasn't so open to him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
I know. I was hoping that you were going to say, so at dinner, I said, you know what? You're probably wondering why I've never wanted to meet you. And it's because those 2 days, I was a PA and you were a real jerk.
And I sat there trying to look at him because I was ready. I realized, oh, he's seated across from me. So I'm going to have to talk to him. And I'm going to acknowledge this. And I was looking at him just like, I was just waiting for him to look my
way. Right.
He was directly seated across from me.
And never.
He did not, never looked at me. Nothing. He just looked at everybody else. And I've never heard from him again. I've never run into him again. Worked with him again.
My God.
Yeah. Crazy.
It's true. I mean, sometimes you work with somebody who's just such a jerk.
Yeah.
And they make it so hard on the crew. They make it hard on everybody.
And obviously, it can be hard. Long days, long run of days.
Yes.
But also, I think it's understandable when people get moody or they're short or they're whatever.
We
they
have
need
those
a
days,
beat.
Right.
Yeah, you have those days. You have those moments. But the general vibe of just like,
Don't yell at that person.
Or humiliate.
trying to humiliate somebody.
It was rough.
That
was not my specialty to run around like a troll behind someone holding a heavy.
Holding their cord.
Yeah, holding their cord so it didn't pull on them.
I mean, so it's possible that he was in some sort of getup that he didn't want to be in, that he was annoyed about.
Of course.
But yeah, why is he taking that?
He created the show.
Right.
He created the show.
So this is like Jack Rebney. So, right, he's the one that wrote this. He wrote the script and talked about the Winnebago. He knew he was going to be in this Winnebago for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Why is he mad at everybody else? And you're right, it's hard. I mean, it seems like it's really easy being an actor, but there are aspects of it that are very difficult because you have to know your lines. Mm-hmm. And everybody's staring at you while you're doing your lines. And you're also like, whatever that is, wearing 5-inch heels and you've got a thing digging in your back and your battery pack
or
for your
green screen suit.
It's like burning a hole in your back and you're just trying to like get through this day, get through the shoot. And then if somebody's, you know, doing something that's holding you up, it's like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Please,
yeah,
I'm begging you. Can we just get through this?
Yeah.
So you have all those little personalities going at once and it's a real pressure cooker.
I feel bad for the people that have to do like water scenes.
Oh.
Or I've done a rain scene in the freezing cold.
Rain scenes, and they are always cold because it's they're just rain machines. And you know it's coming and you have to act like you don't know it's coming.
Ugh,
and you just wait for the rain and act like it's fantastic. Yeah. I got to kiss Jeremy Sisto in the rain when I was doing Suburgatory. It was so cute. Well, it's
we have
cute.
To take a break.
Oh my god!
Finish your story.
Well,
and then we'll
just
take
gonna
a break.
Say it's cute for the first take.
Yeah,
it's like that was great, you guys. And they're like, all right, let's blow out the hair, get the makeup touched up, go and change your clothes. And
oh
it's like,
right, yeah,
we're gonna do it again. You guys
That's
didn't get
hell.
It. And then you know it's all coming and you're like freezing down to the bone and you're just acting like you're so in love and can't wait to kiss in the rain. All right, we can go to break.
All right. We will be right back on Tig and Cheryl True Story.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back on Tig and Cheryl
True Story. Okay, Jack. Mm-hmm. Okay, Jack.
It's true.
All right, I'm gonna barrel through this.
All right.
Ben tries to find him. He hires a private investigator, and they found him at the top of a mountain in Northern California, where he lives alone as a caretaker of Rock Creek Lake, which also I thought was kind of weird that there was so much personal information about where he lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole thing is about how he just wants to live alone,
to be
by himself on the top of a mountain.
Yeah.
And it's like, here's where he lives, Rock Creek Lake, at the top of this mountain in Northern California. It's like, wow. Okay.
But I mean, isn't that also where you go, does he really want to be out of touch? Because he was out of touch, but also very available.
Yeah. When the time came.
Yes.
So Ben goes out there, he films him, and Jack is acting like a really sweet guy in khakis.
Yeah.
Who wants to be alone and is very calm. And Ben's thinking, okay, well, maybe, you know, that's the end of the story. He was angry 20 years ago, and now he's calm. And then Jack starts reaching out to Ben.
The end.
Should we do some spam mail? No. Then Jack starts reaching out to Ben. I mean, at one point, did you think, oh my God, did Jack kill somebody and we're going to get to the bottom of it? Oh, that was just
maybe. I guess that always comes up on a documentary.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay, who'd you kill?
get ready.
Yeah.
I found a dead body in the backyard when I was looking for firewood.
This person's a murderer.
Jack is not a murderer. I just want to let everyone know.
As far as we know, right?
Well, as far as we know, that's not what we're here to tell you. So Jack reaches out to Ben and he's like, by the way, that's not really me. I really am an angry man and I don't like people. And I have a screenplay that I've been working on. I have a book I've been working on. And Ben says, okay, can I come back out there?
Here's the thing. When people say they don't like people.
Yeah.
It's because they've been hurt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of tough guy, punk rocker people.
Yeah.
It's scary to approach them, but then it's like, oh, it's all from pain.
Pain. Yeah.
And I actually feel, and not to spill beans, but I feel like that's what I came around to with this documentary.
Yeah.
Is that you're being rude and you're living in the woods because you got hurt.
Yeah.
It's not because you were just born angry, mean, yelling at people.
Yeah.
You're actually sensitive and you got hurt.
Yeah. That's right.
That's my feeling. I
think you're right. Jack has a very good friend named Keith Gordon. Very sweet. Keith, I think, lives in Vegas. I don't know why that's important. And I don't even know if that's true. It's not in the notes, but that was coming from my memory.
We should give out his address.
But at some point during the making of this film, Jack went for a walk and got disoriented from his glaucoma. And he lost his way. The local sheriff had to come find him. And for some reason, like, that information got out to people, which is odd. Why would that information get out? It doesn't matter.
Who cares?
He wants to now set up a video blog for Jack so Jack can get his thoughts and information out to the world on the internet. And Jack doesn't want anything to do with it. And then he takes some, listen, the long and the short of it. Jack doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to connect with the people online. He doesn't like young people. He thinks they're all idiots. And his sweet friend, Keith, comes to visit. He brings him wind chimes, which, by the way, I despise wind chimes.
Do you?
Oh, my God. I actively don't like them. I cannot relax around wind chimes.
So you would for sure not be able to meditate with wind
chimes.
Oh,
no, I would not.
You would become a Jack.
Oh, Wagner. Jack. What's his name? Ben's Rebney. Not Jack Wagner. That's a completely different person. No, but wind chimes, because I mean, I hate to brag, but I have very good hearing. So wind chimes or anything that's in constant motion, I just listen to it. And and I can't get a break from it. I'm like, oh, my God, the wind chimes will not stop. They don't stop.
Yeah. Yeah. They chime.
They chime. But by the way, Jack Rebney loved his wind chimes that his friend Keith got him. Don't know why I'm throwing that in there. And, okay, now Ben wanted to take Jack to a film festival where they were going to show the clips of him cursing.
Yeah.
And
again, I don't quite understand why it's so hilarious to see an adult curse. If this was a small child saying all this, I would laugh.
Listen, I have to tell you, when they were, then they show it again in the theater.
Yeah.
I was laughing so hard. I don't know. It really made me laugh so hard.
Oh, my God.
I can't
tell you. That is where we are different people.
We differ.
I truly was like, oh, boy. Why is this funny?
Oh, boy, this freaking thing again.
Adult man frustrated and cussing.
The young crowd loved him, and he loved talking to the kids, and it was very sweet. And he, you know, kind of seemed to find his people.
Yeah. He really came around.
He came around and he took pictures with everybody. And
that's where he got me. Like
you were like, okay.
Yeah. When I was seeing him take pictures and smile and be gracious. And I just thought, oh.
Oh, he does like people.
Yeah, it's like he's a little angry punk rocker. He got hurt.
By the way,
so he put spikes on his jacket.
There was something about, because in the video when he's cursing, there are a lot of flies at the shoot. And he was like cursing up a storm at the flies.
Yeah.
I don't know why that makes me laugh. And
I don't either.
They gave him a fly swatter at the film festival. What was it called? It was called the Found Footage Film Festival in San Francisco. And he took pictures with everybody holding the fly swatter. I don't know. That's basically the whole, that's the Winnebago man in a nutshell. Yeah. What'd you say?
For sure.
You know what? I think why it made me laugh so hard is because maybe because I am an actor and I have been in scenes where you're shooting and it's something, right? There's like a bee that's buzzing around the other person's head and you're trying not to break because, you know, you got to get the shots. But there's a lot of bullshit going on all the time. Yeah. But as a disciplined actor, you don't like stop and shout at every little thing that's going wrong, even though you'd like to.
Well, I'm not a disciplined actor. I'm just finding myself acting. I remember one time on One Mississippi, there was an extra that was sitting on like a bench or something that had severe hiccups that would not stop. And it was so funny. They were like, I'm so sorry. And we had already been filming, so we couldn't like move this person out of the shop. And they couldn't stop hiccuping. Oh my Lord, was that amusing for me.
That is hard.
But yeah, I thought it was funny. And I was like, I'm fine with this being in the shot. Hiccups in the background.
I'm sure I've told you this story. With Richard Gere, when I was in a movie with him, and we had in the film, I'm in a car. We're all in a car accident together, and I die, and he pulls me out of the car onto the riverbank. So we're shooting this, right? And it's like cameras. It's a big deal. This is like a hard shot. And when he pulls me onto the riverbank, and I'm dead, so I can't move at all. I just feel ants crawling on me.
Oh.
But did I move? No. Did I tell the ants to go fuck themselves? No. Did I want to? Yes.
Did you wish you had a fly swatter? Yes.
But imagine if every actor that's like playing dead, there's something going wrong that you're like, yeah, you want to move, but you can't. There's a crane shot. There's a camera. Like, you're next to Richard Gere, who's like crying because you're dead and you can't, you know, you've got ant. You're just going to have to take it. You got to just take the ant bites. Anyway, that's the name of my autobiography. Just take the ant bites.
You got to take the ant bites by Cheryl Hines. Yeah. But I think that the, like I said, the beginning, I was like, oh, I don't care about some old guy that's angry, yelling at people. It just did nothing for me. But then going on this road with him, seeing him so defensive with the filmmaker, who's like, then why are you doing this film? Why are you writing a book? Why are you doing any of this stuff if you don't want to connect with anyone? And it's such a perfect example of when somebody is so defensive, it usually
is an indicator
Yeah. And so here he is being met with just utter joy and kindness. And he's so happy.
I know.
And that's like, that's all
But you're right. Like talking about somebody who, you know, is like, oh, that didn't bother me.
I don't need anyone.
Yeah,
all they're saying is, I need people. Help. Help. But I mean, truly. And so, and you have, I had that feeling when I saw him. It broke me where I felt like I was the Jack person through the documentary where I was like, oh, God. And then
it turned you into an angry person.
And then it broke me. And I was like, oh, I'm so glad that he had this. And
yeah,
because he clearly kept being drawn back to connecting with people through his writing and through saying how he felt in the documentary. And it
did not like Dick Cheney.
It had that feeling of just somebody that had been hurt or burned or humiliated one too many times. There's no world where he could just say, you know what? Yeah, that hurt. And I would like to say how I feel. And
yeah, he would never, he said it didn't matter. He didn't even care.
I don't care.
He didn't.
I'll shut this whole thing down. It's like, why? And if then really have no interest, you don't even pick up the phone.
Right. And then when Ben, the filmmaker, wanted to ask him about his marriage, his previous marriage, I guess, or had he been married, or like he got angry at that question. If he wanted to ask him about his childhood, he got angry at that. But I do love that Ben would just, Jack would just be yelling, you know, I'm not going to fucking talk about this. And Ben's just standing there with a microphone.
But I do feel like he played into a character. Like, I don't think he's genuinely this, like, angry man. I think he takes on this curmudgeon-y, like, I'm going to yell and cuss. But you can tell there's a sense of humor under there. And he knows he's being the curmudgeon-y, crotchety old guy.
Yeah.
And so that was a part of me where I was like, okay.
Okay. Tig, are you ready for final thoughts?
I am.
It's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
I did not. Did you?
No, I didn't. But I was happy at the end.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I did. I actually did cry because there were outtakes even at the end that were making me laugh so hard.
Oh, my God. I don't understand.
I knew how much that camera crew hated him. And just like the idea that this actor is just wasting everybody's time with yelling at the flies, yelling at the PA. I don't know what made me laugh. It really just made me laugh so hard. And then I thought, oh, I'm going to be one of these people that when I'm having a bad day, I'm going to watch this. Because there is sometimes, and I shouldn't admit this because maybe this is a problem, but there are like, you know, there's a compilation of videos from newscasters that I really will really make me laugh. Like it's something that goes wrong because there's one guy and he's reporting about birds in the tree. And he's like, you know, there's so many birds, you wouldn't believe it. And he looks up and a bird poops in his mouth.
I'm on board for that.
But then, but maybe that's humiliation and now we're being mean to the newscaster.
Right. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't,
you know, I'm sure there's some people that are like, oh, that would be funny.
And some people that are like, that is not okay.
You know, I had a humiliating thing happen when I was being filmed once.
Braggadocious alert. Okay, where was it?
I was doing an appearance on Conan, and it was in the middle of when I was like really sick and my mother had died, and it was the day my girlfriend and I broke up. I was filming Conan, and I was telling my Taylor Dane story, and I completely blacked out. Not blacked out, but I went blank because I was just very overwhelmed with these series of things that were going on in my life. And I couldn't believe I was taping something while I was in the middle of this.
Yeah.
I mean, we truly broke up
just
2 hours. Ugh. Yeah. And I was already feeling so unstable with everything in my life. And so I go on. I'm telling this story that's true. It's not even, oh, I made up
a thing
material. Right. And why am I not remembering it? Because it's like this series of events actually happened and I'm just recounting them. And it's a funny story. I was blanking and blanking and the audience was looking at me and they were all nervously laughing. And I was like, oh, I said, I'm sorry. I'm blanking. And they were laughing, and I said, oh, you think I'm kidding about, I was like, and I was just having this back and forth with the audience. And then I finally was able to finish. And then afterwards, the producer came into my green room and he said, oh, hey, listen, because I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm just, I'm my head someplace else. I'm going through some stuff. And he was like, oh, don't worry about it. We can edit it to make it, you know, seem like that didn't happen. And I said, you know what? And I think it was kind of part of this time period for myself in 2012 when everything did fall apart for me, that I just had this feeling of, I don't care.
Right.
I'm losing everything anyway. And so I just said, you know what? I kind of think I want you to just put it out there if you're okay with it, because I think people might be interested to see. And I'm kind of, I said, I personally, if somebody was going through that, I would want to see it. It's so voyeuristic, you know?
And human, it's.
Yeah. Even though people didn't know why I was going through that, I was still fine with people seeing me fumble and fail. And so I said, you know what, if you're okay with it, I'm okay with you leaving it with me fumbling. And he was like, oh, okay. All right. And I think he was trying to like process it, like, so that was out there. And then I remember people
asking about it.
Well, asking about it, and then I think even writing about it, like, oh, is Tig, this is an interesting appearance on TV. Did Tig, does she know what she's doing?
Right,
is she meaning to do that? Like,
right.
What's happening here? And I was like, yeah, I was really struggling. Yeah. So.
Well, I like that. And I think that's what people like about you. Because, you know, you're authentic.
They love to see me struggle.
Yes. People love it when other people struggle. Makes them feel better about themselves.
Yeah. So that's out there if anyone wants to see it.
I'm going to Google it. Tig, who were you attracted to? I mean, there's only one answer.
Who?
It's Ben. Bauman. What's his name?
Oh, the filmmaker?
Yeah, Steinbauer.
Oh, adorable. And you know what? I actually knew a guy in this movie.
Oh, who did you know?
Yeah. This guy named Charlie, he lives in Austin, and he used to, and maybe still does, book the comedy at South by Southwest.
Oh.
At the festival.
Oh, interesting.
In Austin. Yeah. Okay. So I was like, oh my gosh, there's Charlie.
Oh, hey, Charlie. Hey.
But I'm not attracted to Charlie. Charlie, I adore you. Wonderful guy. But
you're not.
Yeah, I guess I'll fight Cheryl over Ben.
Okay, Ben. This is a true story talk back. Do you have anything to say? Do you have anything to say to Ben or Jack?
Ben?
Yeah.
I liked your movie and I'm glad I hung in there. Because I was just, I'm sure it happens a lot that this guy rubs people the wrong way for whatever different reason. For me, it wasn't like that I can't deal with somebody being frustrated or curmudgeon-y or whatever it is. I have my curmudgeon-y moments, but I would assume there's plenty of people that this guy rubs the wrong way, but I'm glad I hung in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It made me kind of reflect on stuff about myself and other people. And
You're really getting deep.
I didn't get that deep.
And Jack, we see you. It's coming from a painful place, and let people in. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Let people in.
Let us in, Jack.
That is all for this week's episode. Next week, we'll be talking about Confessions of a Superhero, which you can watch on Pluto TV, and we'll also be joined by a special surprise guest. Before we go, would you like to read some true fan mail?
What if one week I just said no?
No thanks.
But yes. Yes, of course.
But you know what? Before I do that, I just have to, you know, we have an Instagram account, Tig and Cheryl, True Story. And I just love, you know, Aiden, the vacuumer.
Yeah.
He posted on the Pamela Anderson show. He said, actual fun fact, my mother... Yes, the mother of Aiden the Vacuumist was featured in Australia's Playboy the exact year as Pamela. She's kind of the Pamela Anderson of Australia, and I'm the Brandon Lee. Aw.
Wow.
Is that the cutest thing you've ever heard?
He's trying to get us to love him more.
It seems impossible, but I think I did just kick it up a notch. Hey, Aiden, hey.
Hey, Aiden,
hey. Oh, Aiden. Oh, you got to love that, Aiden. Okay, this is from Mary. Hey, Mary, hey.
Hey, Mary, hey.
Oh, another fun fact. This is starting with fun fact. I worked with a professor at a naval academy who was great at water cooler talk. His recurring braggadocious alert was casually mentioning that he used to work in the Smarties factory in New Jersey. He said they had huge piles of different colored piles of powders that were orange, strawberry, etc., all laid out on a cement floor.
I say cement.
Cement. I know. Now I sound cement. Like a Beverly Hillbilly. On a cement, laid out on a cement floor, very loosey-goosey. It seemed unsanitary, but I didn't care. He was the bad boy of powdered candy, and that turned me on. I like that she actually liked this. Did he flirt with me? Yes. Did he use his clout with Smarties to impress me? Yes. Did I always fix the copier when his papers got jammed? Yes. Do I still take a few rolls of Smarties out of my daughter's trick-or-treat bag for the memories? You bet your sweet ass I do.
Wow, that must be a snorkel.
Mary, she's a snorkel through and through. What kind of Smarties place is this where there's just piles of Smarties powder?
Stephanie would be thrilled. She loves a good Smartie. Sour, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, who doesn't? It's delicious. Yeah,
well, some people
okay, this
don't.
Is from Joe. Hey, Joe. Hey,
Joe, hey.
Hey there, Tig and Cheryl. I started listening to your podcast in the very beginning, and although I don't get to contribute in the conversation, it's like visiting with two of my most favorite people for an hour. I reserve the podcast for my hour drive to work, and it makes the time fly. On a few occasions, my husband had been in the car when I was listening, and he quietly fiddles with his phone, checking emails, and seems to not be listening, or so I thought. A few days ago, we were in the car listening to another podcast, and the host mentioned an interaction he had with Tom Cruise. Out of nowhere, my husband blurted out, braggadocious alert! Based on what I thought was indifference on his part, this caught me off guard. Now that I know you infiltrated his head, my goal is to incorporate I'm going to Puss Town into his vocabulary.
Scram, clown, I'm going to Puss Town.
Thanks for entertaining me, Joe. Oh, my God, that hurt me. Oh, that hurt me. I love that he just yells out braggadocious. shoot, Judy. Okay, that's it. That's it.
Braggadocious alert.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Is there anything that you want to tell the people about the people, the Snorkels?
Yes. I wanted to mention that I will be, they added a second show. Mm. Yes, it's a braggadocious alert.
Braggadocious alert. Wee, wee, wee.
They added a second show at the in Boise. I'm doing a festival out there on March 24th. My birthday is March 24th. Oh. This is the day after my birthday in Boise, March 25th. There's a second show that they added. And then also I will be in the Gulfport, Biloxi, Mississippi area on April 14th. I'll be in Red Bank, New Jersey on April 20th. There's so many shows. Go to tignotaro.com. I'm getting ready for my next special. So I'm doing a bunch of extra shows and I'm doing some comedy clubs here and there, some theaters. I'm really trying to cram in some shows before I do my taping. So come on out. Also check out my other podcast, Don't Ask Tig, which Cheryl makes a great appearance
on. Thank you, Tig. Thank you.
What about you, Cheryl? Anything else?
No, it's the usual. When I've got something, I'll let you know.
All right. Braggadocious alert!
That's the opposite of a braggadocious alert.
I know, but I still wanted to wedge that in there. Cheryl?
Yeah?
Should we do it again?
Yeah, let's do it again. Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with production assistance from Bobby Pearson. Music by David Sesson. Special thanks to Gabby Kovacic, Patrick McDonald, and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at TigandCherylTrueStory@gmail.com. That was a HeadGum Podcast.